The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. When Amanda and I were getting married, her childhood pastor performed our ceremony, and he started out his wedding sermon with the best wedding greeting that I had ever heard, and one that I still steal myself when I'm doing weddings now. We stood hand in hand before him with all of our family and friends gathered around us, and he looked us straight in the eye and said, "Whew, you made it. Now take a breath." There are times when this annual sprint of Advent to Christmas can have this same sort of build-up and release of tension. Party to store to store, from worship to back home, wrapping every present, getting all the trees decorated, making sure every detail is just right. Then we finally get to Christmas morning, the last package is finally wrapped, and we made it. This is what was going through my head the first time that I heard this theme for the fourth Sunday of Advent, this idea that we were holding on, as if we were just holding on for dear life, just for a little bit longer because we're almost there. If we can just make it to Christmas, we won't let go. Just hold on. What if instead of looking at this theme as just holding on for dear life, we thought of it as holding on for the start of a new adventure? What if instead of holding on, just praying that someone would save us, praying that we can just make it to Christmas morning, what if instead we held on to be led into something new? We held on because Christmas itself was launching us into an uncharted territory. What if we were holding on as if we were getting ready to ride a roller coaster for the very first time, even if we didn't know where the track was going to go? When I was 12 years old, I had a chance to ride a roller coaster back at Kings Island in Cincinnati, Ohio, called the Flight of Fear. And this roller coaster, at the time when it was built, was the first roller coaster in the world that didn't have a hill at the start of it. And instead, it used magnets and other physics-y stuff that I don't understand, but it shot you off down the track, going from 0 to 60 at about 2.5 seconds. And so as you walked through the line to get ready for this ride, there were these warning signs everywhere you looked about what you were supposed to do while you were sitting in the chair so that you didn't get hurt as this thing was going to launch you down into the tunnel. And so all these signs said the same thing. You got to sit with your back all the way against your seat. You got to keep your head straight, and you've got to be ready for the launch. Because if you're looking around, if you're not paying attention, if you're talking to your neighbor and that thing goes off, it's not going to feel very good. And so all you can do is sit in that seat, trying to keep your focus, looking into the dark tunnel ahead, no idea where the track is going, and just hold on. And that's exactly what we've been doing for the past 4 weeks as we've been moving through this Advent season. We got in, sat down, we listened, and now it's our chance. We're ready. The ride is about to leave the station. It's all led up to this moment. Because Advent isn't about preparing and holding on just so that we can let go when Christmas gets here. Advent is about getting ready for that launch into uncharted territory. That launch that's going to happen not because we're on a track with magnets and physics-y stuff, but a launch that's going to happen because the birth of a child. A child who's coming into the world to turn everything upside down. Now this morning, we get to hear about Joseph and the way that he was holding on to his own adventure that was about to begin. Because any parent can tell you that the birth of the child is not when you let go. That's when everything just starts. That's when you hold on for dear life, certainly with no idea what's coming next. But before we get too far into Joseph's story, there's something that I want you all to see, because this has become a bit of my own Advent tradition here at Lord of Life, and so I want you to join me in this as we join the Griswold family once again this year on their way to find the perfect Christmas tree.
Speaking of Christmas trees, kids, can one of you tell me what the first kind of tree displayed at the White House was?
Dad, they're back.
Clark, stop it! I don't want to spend the holidays dead.
Honey, please, I'll do the driving, okay? Will you just take it easy, Ellen? I'm in complete control.
Get around this egg timer.
Under a truck.
Do you honestly think I don't know that?
Come on, you guys, don't fight.
Ah, for Christ's sake, I didn't do this on purpose.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And forgive my husband. He knows not what he does.
Amen.
Now, I love that clip for a number of reasons, but this morning I particularly appreciate its reminder that holding on is not just about holding on for survival. It's about holding on and leaning into that new and uncharted territory, because where you are now is not where you are supposed to be. Because God has something greater in store for us. Think back across your life, and I'm sure that you can join me in remembering those moments when you too have uttered those faithful words, "Honey, please, I'm in complete control." Only moments later to find yourself, hopefully metaphorically, stuck under a truck. And even as Ellen begins her prayer and Clark interrupts to shout amen, we can almost hear him shouting, "Hold on," as he turns that wheel, unclear of what's going to happen next, but knowing he cannot stay where he is. And so together, the Griswold family holds on and leans into this new adventure, trusting that there's something better for them. And this is exactly where we find Joseph this morning. Where Joseph had been walking along, he had this great plan, right? Plan A was probably just to marry this nice girl who his family had arranged for him to be with. Seemed like a pretty good plan. Live a nice, quiet life, uninterrupted, quietly up in Galilee. That sounds like a great idea. And then suddenly he finds out that she's pregnant. Now, by our modern standards, his approach to say, "Well, I'm just going to dismiss her," can sound dismissive at least, right? You know, this idea that he's just going to kick Mary to the curb, leave her to fend for herself, and I'm going to be doing my own thing. Thank you very much. But at the time, in the system in which they were living, this was actually the best option that he had. It might not be a good one, but it is the best that he had. It was respectful of Mary. He could handle it kind of quietly. He didn't drag her out to the public square and accuse her of infidelity. We're just going to handle this quietly. I'm in complete control, Joseph says. I have a plan. And then an angel shows up. Have you ever noticed how when we read the biblical story and angels show up, they never show up just to say, "Hey, you're doing a great job, just keep up the good work." Inevitably, they show up to say, "Your world is about to be completely different. Everything is about to change." And in Joseph's situation, the case is no problem. They don't show up and say, Joseph, you've got a great plan. Go at it, man. The angel shows up and says, Joseph, your plan stinks. It's a terrible plan. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. God has a plan that you can't even begin to fathom, because God is going to do a brand new thing. And you're going to have a critical role to play. And so Joseph holds on and starts preparing to be launched on this new roller coaster ride of being a parent, of changing whatever the first century equivalent of diapers are, of feedings, of leading him and learning how to live in Nazareth, how to exist in the world in which they are, of teaching him a family trade. Joseph gets these instructions from the angel, and he follows them. He holds on, unsure of where this track is going to lead him, but confident that he cannot stay where he is. And if we take a step back and look at the whole Christmas narrative, we really see that it's just this scene with Joseph played out over and over with different characters. Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary, the shepherds, each one hearing the same message. God is doing a new thing. Hold on. And each time we see the ways in which they hold on to live into this new adventure, that they understand that they can't stay where they are, even if they don't know where it is they're being led. And so now this morning, that same message is passed on to each of us. Hold on. A couple of weeks ago, we were reminded that we needed to sit down. And in order to sit down, we needed to give up control. This morning, we're reminded that it's in fact all those moments along the way when we said, I'm in complete control, and the actions that follow immediately after that, that's what's landed us under a truck. That's what's put us where we are. We said, I'm in complete control, and we completely ignored God's call on our lives. We ignore the needs of the poor, the orphan, the widowed, the stranger. We come up with new and creative ways to divide ourselves from one another rather than uniting ourselves in Christ. Again and again, we are concerned more with the needs of ourselves, friends, rather than we are with the needs of others. We say, I'm in control. I know best. And all we've achieved is the slow but certain destruction of our relationship with God. Time after time again, turning our backs on the path that God would have us follow, finding ourselves stuck under a truck, too paralyzed to move, convinced perhaps that there's no better option than to stay right here. And so we might even this morning be crying out, do you really think I did this on purpose? Of course not. Of course we didn't do this on purpose. But here we are. However we got here, we're stuck under this truck. And we don't know the way out. Now Clark takes the wheel and turns to get his family out by his own actions, but Joseph's story, God's story, reminds us that there's nothing that we can do to get ourselves out from this truck. We don't know how to turn the wheel. We don't know how to turn it around, how to make the right choice. We don't know how to do that. Instead, God's story is entirely about what God is going to do for us. Because the baby that's going to be born isn't from Joseph. It's from the Holy Spirit. It's from God. The plan that Joseph is going to follow isn't Joseph's. It's God's plan for him to marry Mary, for him to take Mary as his wife. The child is going to be given a name. And it's not Joseph's name, as would have been the custom of the time. The child is given God's name. Emmanuel, God with us. So this morning, we all get to hold on. We get to hold on because the time is here and we're about to be launched into a new creation, sent flying down a darkened tunnel. We don't know which way the track is going, but confident that God is with us through every twist and turn. We get to hold on because God's about to get us out from under this truck. And it's going to be an incredible, challenging, life-changing, joy-filled ride every step of the way. And it's all going to start with the birth of that child, that God with us. God loves each of you, and I do too.